The men and the women of the Bible did not work miracles because they were special. Elijah was made out of the same stuff you're made out of. They worked miracles because they were devoted to prayer. I preached on that last week. It's the most important thing in your life is to be devoted to prayer. Men and women like Elijah, Hannah, King David, and Daniel had a lifestyle of praying. I talked about Elijah recently. James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." There's people who say prayer doesn't do any good, doesn't change anything. That says it does. And then it gives a good example. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, does a lot of good. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature. I'm trying to show you now how to really live a successful Christian life and be victorious in everything you put your hands to, and especially your job, your career, and ministry, your family. Listen, when you pray through and you get to victory before you approach a problem, you've already won. And when you get God's wisdom direction for that decision, it'll be right. Now, I've lived this way for years. I've made some mistakes, but it's because I get in a hurry and not really hear from God. But I have the opportunity to hear from God before I make any big decisions. And it's called prayer. Look at Elijah, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and the people were in real rebellion, serving Baal, and Elijah was trying to get their attention. So he asked the Lord to shut the rain off, and he shut it off for 3 years and, 6 months? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. That's pretty good praying. And it got their attention. That's when he called down the fire from heaven. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth. Notice, God allowed him to be in charge of the weather. It didn't rain until he asked for rain. Just prayer. Well, he was one of those special Old Testament guys. He was just a human being like you. The only difference was he prayed. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah is not different from us, except he was a man of prayer. All the great men and women of the Bible were people of prayer, including Jesus himself. The first sermon I preached on this, the word tells us that very often in the morning, early in the morning, before he did anything else, he'd get up and go pray. After a big crusade, when he'd have 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, and he fed them all, healed them all, then he went off to a solitary place to pray. He was a man of prayer, but I don't need to pray. I do need to pray. I used to say I don't need to pray until God showed me I was 100% wrong. I do need to pray. Now, why is Hannah named in the Bible? Why is this woman even in the Bible? What did she do to get into the Bible? The only thing she did was pray. She made it into the Holy Scripture just because she was a woman of prayer. But look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much. We don't have to go into all the details why she was upset. She was just upset. And the way she dealt with it was prayer. If you want to know all the details, you can look that up and read it on your own time. Can you say amen? Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Verse 12, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. This is the pastor of the church, the priest, the high priest. Verse 13, Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. People said, well, you need to pray out loud. Her voice was gone. She couldn't pray out loud, but God heard her anyway. Hannah was praying in her heart. Yeah, and if you're not praying in your heart, it's not in your heart, it's probably not going to work. You need to be praying a sincere prayer out of your heart. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. I mean, how preachers can jump to conclusions. And said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. She got her voice back. Not so. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. And when she was deeply troubled, what did she do? Whine and cry and complain all the time. She prayed till she got peace. And God answered her prayer. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. There comes a time we need to do that. And out of today, you got psychiatrists and all kind of medicines and stuff. Very often Christians run to psychiatrists and get medicine instead of praying. You can save a lot of money just by praying. Can you say amen? I know how to motivate you. You can save money by praying. You can make money by praying too. God will show you how to make money. You see, this is what we must do. We must pray until we hear from God. Pray through. If I can get everybody here praying like this, I mean, it'll be a different world for you and us. And a different world for the church. Verse 16, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Verse 17, Eli answered, go in peace. And I think he began to discern the will of God in it. He says, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have been asking of him. And he did. She was praying for a son. Never been able to have a baby until she prayed through in church. You don't have to be in church, but you need to pray through. When Hannah finished praying, she had a peace about the matter. And God did give her a son. His name is Samuel. God gave her Samuel, who became the greatest high priest and the greatest prophet or greatest judge Israel ever had. He served both positions. It was the best. Samuel was the one who anointed Saul to be king. He anointed Saul to be king. And then after Saul, he anointed David to be king. He anointed the first two kings of Israel. And he would never have been born if it hadn't been for praying. Well, God would have done it another way. No, he wouldn't have. Quit explaining away the Bible. It means exactly what it says. God answered her prayer. And she got a son. I'm not saying there wouldn't have been somebody else with a different name that would have done some things. But this was her son that she prayed for. And he never would have been born if she hadn't prayed. And don't tell me prayer doesn't work. You're a day late and a dollar short. I already know it works. During a fast several years ago, there was 10 ladies they had a support group, and none of them could have children. And so they just started meeting together and praying. And one of them heard about our fasting and praying over here in January. So they said, let's go over there and just ask God to give us babies. So there were 11 of them in that meeting, and 10 came, and one said, I don't believe in that stuff. You may want to believe in this stuff called prayer. So those 10 came down front, told us what they wanted. We prayed. They left next year. Next year, every one of them came back in with a baby. Don't tell me God doesn't answer prayer. 10 out of 10. And the 11th one didn't get a baby. She didn't come and she didn't pray. Well, you don't have to give me a standing ovation. That's okay. This woman changed world history because she prayed fervently. We can change things with prayer. First Samuel, and the only way to know for sure is do it. And do it consistently for a long period of time, for about an hour a day or a good amount of time every day. And start off, you need to start off small and build up. Can you say amen? 1 Samuel 30, verse 3. So David and his men came to the city. And there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. They came home from battle, from being out doing God's work, let's just say it that way. And the village was burned, and they had lost everything. Their wives, their children, their property, all gone. And what did David do? You'll never guess it in a million years. So David inquired of the Lord. What does inquired mean? He prayed. He asked God. He talked to God. He said, shall we pursue this troop? Well, of course, most people say, well, yes, they got your wives. But he didn't do it until he prayed. Why? Because he wanted to be sure he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And preachers and churches in this city, they make major decisions like electing pastors and electing board members and building churches and all kind of crazy things and never even pray over it and then wonder why they get in trouble. Shall I pursue this troop? He asked. Shall I overtake them? And they had a little process they went through, but he got a detailed answer here from God. And he answered, the Lord answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all. For you shall surely overtake them, and without fail shall recover all. That's a clear word from God. And David said, okay, boys, let's go. I've heard from God. Verse 9, so David went. He and the 600 men who were with him. Let me ask you a question. Did prayer work? Yes. They got their wives, their sons, and their daughters, and all their stuff back. You see, God told them what to do. We need to pray until we know what to do. I pray this way about all the church stuff, of course, but I got some issues right now, personal things. I just need an answer from God, and I'm praying day and night, fasting day and night, and believing God to give me an answer before I move. You know, sometimes you say, well, I need to go now. You know, the price may go up, go down, or, you know, or somebody bite ahead of me if something like that. And if you're not careful, you talk yourself into doing something before you hear from God. I'm not going to say I've never done that because I have, but I'm trying never to do it again. Hear from God. Well, how do I hear from God? Well, one way, you prayed you get a no-so revelation peace right here that it's going to be at work. If you don't get a peace about it, that's a pretty good sign. You better not do it. David went into battle, listen, knowing he had already won. Boy, I tell you right now, when you show up for a big problem and you know you've already won, it changes the whole picture. We can pray until we know we have already won. Devil, just get out of here and be gone. Take your doubt and unbelief out. David recovered all. He heard from God, and God did what he said he was going to do. He was going to enable him to recover all. Psalm 55, verse 17, David says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray three times a day. Well, I don't need to pray. King David did. Jesus did. I do. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You have to have a confidence that God is going to hear you. And all you have to remind yourself of, if I said a big old dirty word, God would hear me. So when I ask him to help me, he hears me. David prayed three times a day, and this is what Daniel did. This is what got Daniel in trouble. He's praying three times a day, and so his enemies passed a law. They knew they could get him because they knew he would not stop praying, no matter what the law said. Christians, you know, if there's a law, well, I just can't do it. If it's contrary to God's word, you better do it anyway. I'm going to preach the truth no matter how many laws they make against it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And they're making laws against the word of God right now in America. Somebody say amen. There's certain words you can't say. You can wind up in jail. You got to have your mind made up. Do I believe this or not? I believe it. I believe the word of God. Then I'm going to preach it. And God's going to protect me. Ha ha. They that strive with thee shall perish. Psalm 55, verse 17, David says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, Daniel, he knelt down on his knees three times that day. And he did that every day, because look, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He had been accustomed to pray him three times a day, just like David did, I guess, about his whole life. And he wasn't going to quit because of a dumb law. And the penalty was the lion's den. Daniel prayed even though he knew he would be thrown into the lion's den. The penalty for praying was a night in the lion's den. But prayer was so important to Daniel, he prayed as he was accustomed since early days, and he spent the night at the Lions Club. Can you say amen? Yay. And God rescued him out. The lions just became big old pillows. Can you say amen? But when the king got Daniel out, he threw the ones in that had the law passed to outlaw Daniel's prayer time, and the lions killed them, ate them alive. Angels respond to prayers. Angels were in there protecting Daniel, but when Daniel got out, the angels went with Daniel. And the other guys got eaten by the lions. You see, prayer was the way they received miracles. Remember what Daniel did? I just read this a couple of weeks ago. When the wise men could not tell King Nebuchadnezzar his dream and give him the interpretation, he said, I'm going to kill all of you if you don't get me tell me what the dream was and the interpretation. All the wise men said, we can't do that. But Daniel said, I can. Just give me a little time. And he prayed, and in a night vision, God showed him what the dream was and what the interpretation was. Well, I don't believe prayer works. Well, all through the Bible it worked. Well, everything's trick. Look, God's not pulling a trick on you. He is a man of his word. Well, God's sovereign. Yes, his word is sovereign. I said that to him. I said, people say you're sovereign. What does that mean? He said, yes, I'm sovereign, but my word is sovereign. I will do what I say in this book. That's sovereign. What this book says is sovereign. And Jesus said, ask and shall receive. That's sovereign. He and his friends, Daniel and his friends, prayed about that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and God gave them the revelation. And they went back and told the king, and by hearing from God, they saved the lives of all the wise men in Babylonia. Now, Peter, Paul, and the men and women of the New Testament received miracles through prayer. It wasn't just the Old Testament. The devil pulls that trick too. Well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, the New Testament says the Old Testament was written for my learning. Learning about what? Learning about prayer and fasting and other things. You don't have to. God, Jesus fulfilled the legalism of the law, but we still, all the promises and the blessings given to God's people on the old covenant is still for God's people today. Just because we're on a new covenant doesn't cancel anything. Well, that was pretty good. Wouldn't exactly stand an ovation, but it's good. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may shift you like wheat, and sooner or later he's going to get around to you if he hadn't already. Can you say amen? He may even come back around again, and you need to know what to do when the devil grabs hold of you. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. Who's talking here? Jesus. He said, I'm the Son of God, but I'm praying for you. And it says he's at the right hand of the Father praying for us right now. Amen. I would say prayer is kind of important. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus' number one instrument for victory was prayer. He got up early and prayed. He prayed during the day at different times. The night before he chose his 12 disciples, he prayed all night long. The best thing Jesus could do for Peter under these circumstances was pray for him, and that's what he did. When he discerned that Peter was headed for trouble, he prayed for him. When Satan comes to sift you like wheat, what are you going to do? Oh my God, what's going on? Hey, get by yourself and pray the thing through. Get victory. And get some people helping you pray. Amen. Daniel did. He went and got his buddies to help him pray. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you say amen again? Amen. Jesus still believes in and practices prayer right now. I mentioned that just a second ago, but let's read it. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them, for his people, for you and me. Hey, if he's praying for me, I want to pray and line my prayers up with his. So how do you do that? I say, Lord, just show me how to pray. Jesus Christ is praying for us right now. If Jesus believes in the miracle working power of prayer, we must also believe in the miracle working power of prayer. God is sovereign. I can't change a thing. Well, he has given you permission to change things by prayer. Amen. Because he's sovereign. He can do that. Everyone asketh, receiveth. Can you say amen? Asking keeps on asking is really what it says. You see, I've been doing this ever since before I came here. And I'm telling you right now, they wouldn't be a church here if it weren't for prayer, I promise you. And it'd probably be even a better church if I'd pray more. Amen. If Jesus practices prayer on a regular basis, we must do the same thing. Now people tell me, well, I'm going to pray. Okay, when? Well, I'll just decide when I get, I'll pick up time. No, you won't. If you don't set a time, you will not pray. And you know, I'm not insulting you, I'm calling you anything, but I'm telling you right now, I did that. It never worked. You got to say, I'm going to pray at this time, and the devil and all of hell's not going to stop me. I'm making an appointment to meet God at 3 o'clock, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to get up in the middle of the night, and I'm going to pray at least an hour. I prayed on our lights, not in the dark. Well, I'm fasting 42 days. I got to have my rest. I got to have my prayer. You get your rest, I get my prayer. You say amen. And then God will give me the rest somehow. Can you say amen? Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. I've used a couple of these before, but in a kind of a little different matter, I'm just showing you today that we can work miracles if we'll be devoted to prayer. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul says, I need your prayers. One of the greatest apostles, if not the greatest, at least he and Peter probably be considered the very greatest. Both of them were men of prayer. You remember what Peter was doing when Cornelius was sending his men over? He was up on the roof praying. They were getting lunch ready. Instead of watching Gunsmoke on television, some of these reruns, he went up on the roof and was praying. And while he was praying, God gave him this vision. And by doing that, told him, look, I'm bringing the Gentiles into the church. And you go down to the door, and whoever's there, you go with them. And we got down there with Gentiles. Peter was a man of prayer. Paul was a man of prayer. And Paul says, I pray, but I need you to pray. I need you to pray for me. Can you say amen? I just ask you to pray for me. I'll be able to eat. And I will be because you prayed. Amen. Totally confident. I'm feeling good about it. Amen. I wasn't too sure until y'all prayed a while ago, but I'm sure now. Can you say amen? Amen? Paul says, I need your prayers. If Paul needed prayer You know I do. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They had an hour of prayer, the Jews did. And after these disciples became followers of Christ, and now they're in charge because Jesus is going back to the right hand of the Father, they're still going up the temple for the hour of prayer. And you remember when Jesus was about to be crucified and he asked the disciples to join with him in prayer, and he went off away from them to pray in private, and when he came back, they were asleep. He said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Could you not pray with me 1 hour? 1 hour is important. They went up to the temple for the hour of prayer. I'm not expecting a stand ovation. I was just kidding about that. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 again. Now Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. You see, and that's all I'm going to read of that because that's the point I want to make. This was a daily thing. They went to the house of God for the hour of prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And because they were preaching the gospel, they beat the daylights out of them and said, don't you preach this anymore. So they went back to the other apostles, verse 24. So when they heard this, 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all to the other apostles that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. They had been commanded, don't you preach in the name of Jesus again. And already beat them. And I mean, they had the power to stone them to death. They said, do not do this. And what did they do? Panic? No, they called a prayer meeting. Amen. You know, all these scriptures have been right here all the time. Preachers just don't preach them. I think the reason is they don't pray either. I know most of them don't. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. What was the first thing they did? They prayed. Who taught them how to pray? Jesus. Remember that? About 2 weeks ago, I talked about that. They said to Jesus, teach us how to pray, and he taught them how to pray. And part of what he taught them was, I say to you, though he'll not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence in prayer, he'll rise and give him as many as he needs. Remember that? He taught them how to do this. And in teaching them, he's teaching us today through the same, through the scripture. Verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats. Help us out, Lord. They're coming after us. Okay. They're coming after Christians in America today, in case you don't know. And it doesn't matter what your race is or your creed, code, or anything else. If you believe the Bible, they're coming after you. Somebody say amen. And I'm not putting fear in anybody. I'm just trying to put fear. I'm just telling you, we don't have to tolerate it. We can pray through it. We get victory. Shut them down. Can you say amen? What does the book say? If my people, which are called, which most of these people are not doing it, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Don't tell me we can't change things. Bill Bright, before he died, went across this country. He knew bad things were coming. And he challenged all of his preachers back then to fast 40, all denominations, fast 40 days. Back then, I was fasting 21. I said, I'm not going to fast no 40 days. But finally, God says, oh, yes, you are. Can you say amen? Bill Bright, Campus Crusade director in heaven now. Verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats. And grant to their servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Stretch forth your hand. That was their prayer. Work miracles to prove that you're still alive and well. When we say your name, show up and work miracles. So do we need to pray like this? Yeah. We need to be praying that God will anoint us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons and devils, and cleanse the liver, so people all around us can get set free and help us preach the gospel, and so that others can see the power of God for themselves. They have a right to see the power of God. Just as much as you have the right to see it, they have the right to see it through you. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. When they got through praying, the power of God came down, shook that place. They had great boldness. They went out and healed everybody. Yay. Look at this. You see, we must pray until everything around us is shaken. America needs a good shaking. Can you say amen? Holy Ghost shaking. The people turn back to the word of God before it's everlasting too late. You realize every time somebody is murdered, shot dead in this country, that's around the world for that matter, that's not born again, they go straight to the devil's hell? This is urgent business, and we need to be about the master's business right now, or we could wind up with blood on our hands. I'm more concerned about that than about what people think. I love everybody, but I got to speak the truth. Speaking the truth hurts your feelings and makes you mad at me. I can't help it. I'm not going to get myself in trouble with Almighty God worrying about people's feelings. Acts 5:12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. This is after they had that prayer meeting. So we say, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could do what they did. You can. Jesus taught them how to pray, and they prayed. And we have the same teaching, and we need to be doing it too. They received great miracles through prayer. If they could receive miracles through prayer, so can we. We can be like them, but only if we make prayer a priority like they did. We need to let the world see what prayer can do through us. We got businessmen and women here in the church right now successful because they prayed, God told them what to do, and they did it, and God's blessed them. And He's blessed them more and more and more. When a church gets together to pray, things happen. Okay, I was waiting for amen, but okay. When a church gets together to pray, things happen. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Woo, glory to God. Don't make me beg, can you save it? Acts 12, 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. They put the preacher in jail. And they're putting preachers in jail now, can you say amen? Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing to the church unto God for him. They believed prayer worked. And they just killed James. Herod just killed James. Well, God, they wouldn't have killed Peter. Well, they killed James. And the Peter said, man, it's time for us to get to pray. People today say prayer doesn't work. These people in the Bible believe it did. And guess what? It did. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, unto Peter, and a light shined in the prison. And he had an LED flashlight. And a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Peter didn't even know what was happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. And standing outside the prison, he says, wait a minute, that wasn't a vision. I'm on the outside. The angel came in answer to prayer just like he did for Daniel. Angels can show up, can you say me? When I had rosacea, Dottie saw an angel standing over me it looked like a female, with her hand over my face, and that was 20 What year is this? 2011. This is 2023. And that rosacea has not reoccurred one time since. Amen. Question. What was I doing that night before Dottie saw that? I was up praying. And my practice is once I get up in the middle of the night, I pray an hour. Why? I'm going to teach the devil not to wake me up. You wake me up, you lying devil. I'm going to pray an hour. I'm going to put the hurt on you. And I do that. If I possibly can, I do. The angel came in answer to prayer just like he did for Daniel. In verse 12, it says, he, Peter, came to the house of Mary after he broke out of jail, assisted by an angel. Our angel actually broke him out. How many believe the angel could still do that? He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying, and they were such men and women of faith, they didn't even believe it's Peter. Oh, it can't be Peter. He's in jail. So, yes, it is Peter. And the lady didn't even open the door. And so they opened the door, and sure enough, it was Peter. Y'all paying attention? The angel broke Peter out of prison in answer to prayer. My angel had a part in healing me from rosacea. I don't know what all happened, but I know I ain't got it no more. Amen. I know I don't have it anymore. You see, we can whine, gripe, cry, or we have another choice. Pray. Romans 15:30, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm coming on a little bit strong. Why? Because I'm tired of the devil lying to people. We've got to get this, and we've got to make time to do it. Somebody say, man, I know a lot of you do. You already pray. But it don't hurt us to have all these scriptures, does it? We need to have something to stand on and justify what we... And the Bible even says that you're to have a reason for what you believe. I'm giving you the reasons I believe in prayer, at least some of them. Romans 15:30, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Who's that? That's Paul. He said, I need you to join me in my struggle. We can join each other in the struggles of one another by prayer. Prayer works. Do you think a great man like Paul would be asking for prayer if he didn't know he needed it? I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the grace of the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. No matter what a person is going through, we can help them by praying for them. And through COVID, God really has shown me how to pray for people in my prayer closet by myself. And I have received more miracles for people just by myself than used to when I go to the hospital and go to their house and everything else. I mean, prayer is where it happens. And a lot of times when you go to the hospital, you can't pray anyway. You got doctors and nurses running out and all this confusion going on. Man, when I get by myself, I can get it done. Who cares as long as you get healed? Can you save me? Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I pray that over all the attenders on my attendance sheet that we fill out. And if you sign out a card or anything, your name is on it, as long as you don't miss 3 months in a row. I prayed over that last night, and that's what I was praying. Lord, anoint them with power so that they can stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That's what I prayed over your last night. By name. Bragging or complaining? No, I believe in prayer. These people believed and practiced prayer. Maybe we should do the same thing. Believe and do it. In prayer, we can join in another person's struggle. We can wrestle in prayer for the benefit of others. Warfield, is that right? Did I say your name right? But anyway, all of a sudden I couldn't think of it. But anyway, he had major surgery on his back. And the Sunday before the surgery, I grabbed him. Some people gather around him and we prayed down the prayer of God. And he said from that moment, things changed. He went through the surgery without almost any pain. And he's back today on the job. He's part of the security team. And he's back on the job today after major surgery just last week. He said it was the prayers of the people praying over him. And he's had that surgery before, so he knows the difference. Surgery without prayer and surgery with prayer. There's a difference. And our church body can join in our struggle by praying for us. That's why I asked you to pray over us who have continued to fast, that we'd be able to eat. You see, we all need a church that is a praying church. If you should ever need to go to another church, first thing you should ask, does the pastor pray at least an hour a day? If the answer is no, fine, go keep looking. And you need to know if the people have been taught to pray. See, we all need a church that is a praying church. Alice was diagnosed with cancer twice, but the first time, we just had all the church praying, and I went up to the hospital. I felt like saying to her, you need to get a second opinion, but I just didn't. And she thought to herself, I need to get a second opinion, but she didn't. The church was praying over, and when they did surgery, the cancer was gone. There's a sister right there. Is that right, Barbara? It's true. People prayed over her, and the cancer left, and we should have asked for a second opinion. And then, you know, the other, I told you about the one that happened later where she had breast cancer, and God healed that instantly. You see, the people of the Bible didn't work miracles because they were special, but because they prayed. The great men and women of the Bible were people of prayer. That's why I went through this list of names. Also, Jesus, Peter, Paul, and the men and women of the New Testament received miracles through prayer. If we have a church that prays for us, we are blessed. Let's all stand.